The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The GAA needs to take the summer back and quickly. It was never meant to be this way. Now, these are the striking words of Dick Clerkin, who warns of growing apathy and loss of excitement in Gaelic football, a crisis that threatens the very heart of the sport. As attendances dwindle and public interest wanes, the question looms. Has the split season really benefited the GAA? Well, former Monaghan footballer and columnist for the Irish Independent, Dick Clerkin, is on the line. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
It's kind of an odd feeling, isn't it? The 20th of August and no set pieces to look forward to, no McCarthy Cup, no Sam Maguire to look forward to. It's all done and dusted.
No, and the only crowds in Croke Park are old rockers watching AC/DC, Pat. And I suppose at this stage, like, it's we're 3 years into the sort of the split season and the sort of shortened calendar. And listen, COVID threw everything up in the air. And, you know, in the first year, you were just glad to get back into having some sort of a semblance of the championship. And there was a pass given to a lot of it. But as each year has gone on, you know, I just haven't been able to escape that feeling that I referenced in the column, that we've just lost something quite significant in the championship. And in the attempt to solve another problem, we've created a potentially bigger one, albeit different in terms of the exposure and the marketing of our flagship competitions, the Intercounty Championships, which has such an impact on everything in the GAA right down to club level. And that's just been my sense and feeling. And there's now starting to be a few tangible outputs from that in terms of attendances, lack of exposure in the media. Like, I'm like yourself, Pat, you're dialed into the media and you're always going to sports pages and blog sites. Yeah. I find it very hard to find GAA-related commentary and content because it's just getting, you know, dwarfed by everything else that is now competing with our truncated calendar. And if anyone sort of believes or trusts in the benefits of marketing and promotion, well, then you have to sort of say, when you take that, you're going to suffer. And I think that's starting to happen. And I think, you know, we need to have a real honest look at what we've done. Is it the right thing for the association as a whole? And if not, don't be afraid to move back a few steps, because, as I say, you know, I think if we don't, we could lose something that could be hard to get back.
Okay, now the two elements in this, they're the players and then there are the spectators. And you ask yourself, what are these competitions for, the championships in hurling and football? Who are they for? Are they for the players who end up getting or not getting a medal, or are they for the audience, the people who go through the turnstiles and look forward to those two massive games? And of course, at junior and intermediate level as well, there were games as well. But in September, when everyone's going back to school, back to college, you have these two highlights to brighten our days.
That's right. And we all grew up, like, I'm 42 now, Matt, and as a supporter, and my father played for Monaghan for the first 10 years of my life, then as a player, now as a parent. You know, we all have experiences of championship summers that you can look back and sort of signpost. And that's not an insignificant thing in Irish culture and Irish community. We don't have that. We came back from holidays this year at the end of June, early July, and the championship was effectively over. I raced the boys down to watch the All-Ireland semi-final, Armagh and Kerry, just that they could get there, that impressionable age, you know, that I want them to go experience Croke Park, look at that, believe that they could be there someday, like I did at their age. But I had to do it in the first week of June or whenever that game was played, because the rest of the summer there was nothing for them to be brought to. You know, and as a parent now, I see that. You know, they're, instead of watching Gaelic games over the summer, there's nothing else to watch now but the Premiership. And if people and parents wonder why they're forking out 70 and 80 quid for jerseys, for teams, for a competition across the water that they know association with, that's marketing. That's what their kids are watching, and that's what they've been fed. And if we're not feeding, giving Gaelic games, they're going to start being attracted elsewhere. And I see that. And I see that happening as a parent, and that's my concern as much. So I'm looking at it from a different perspective now than I would have maybe as a player 5 or 10 years ago. And that's where my sort of concerns are coming from as well, you know.
Now, the problem they were trying to solve, you might outline why they did what they did.
Yeah, So there was always a big issue, and I experienced this as a player, when you're trying to overlay a sort of a long championship season that ran effectively to the third Sunday in September, but then with club championships increased in their own structures, more games. So there were more games been added in, higher profile, higher levels of professionalism and preparation. It long stopped becoming a game that it was just a hobby and you turned up and trained a few times a week. It became very professional at county and club. So the two coexisting was causing great pains. So they had to try and fight. And COVID effectively gave a unique opportunity to make changes that without a pass, I would be fairly sure you would be nowhere near where you are there. Like, the year was never very quick to change in many ways. Like, the change that it has gone under over the last 3 years has been unimaginable. But I just think we've gone too far. So to try and fix the fixtures, which was always the mantra around clubs, and there has been positive moves there. I've seen that. My argument is, has the juice been worth the squeeze? What we attempted to solve in the club front, have we paid too big a price elsewhere?
Yeah, and there is that whole disparity between the activity at club level, where you get to play a lot for your club. If you're lucky enough to be an intercounty player, limited number of matches perhaps for your county, but still you've got to be at peak fitness for much of the year.
You do, and there's a few sort of anomalies around the whole thing are starting to play out. Like, the reality was, in the old structure, when the two of them overlapped, in a lot of counties, certainly my experience, well, you would have played club football throughout the year. So we would have played towards the end of May and June, and then you'd have come back in when the championship was over, and say maybe August or into September. So you would have been sort of ever present with your club. What's actually happened now is that most intercounty players won't tug out for their club or have any involvement with their club until, say, July and August. So to imagine that a club player won't be in their club dressing room until July or August, I'm not sure that's a good thing either.
Yeah.
Especially for a player that's maybe on the fringes of the county team, really not getting a whole pile of football. I don't think that's necessarily a positive thing either. My own sense is that, like all sports, and we can look elsewhere, Matt, look at rugby. I know it's albeit professional, but the international and the provincial systems coexist. The same in professional football, that you have breaks for international calendars. I think there is an opportunity there for us to coexist a wee bit better than we are at the moment.
And do we know if there's any impact of, the intercounty stars being absent from their clubs and then swanning back in, and the poor fella who's lined out for the club is told, sorry, you are now surplus to requirements. The stars are back.
Well, that was always probably the argument sort of played out, and that's always going to be hard to counter against. But one of the things that is rare in his head is the demand now has been put on intercounty players. So what's happened now, because if you take it, if you're an intercounty player of the Division 1 team that might have a good run in the championship, you're playing much more games in a much more condensed calendar through March, April, May and June. And then also club championships now are structured differently. So before APAT, it might have been a one-off knockout championship game. Now they're very often sort of mini-league round-robin championships that player now has to play maybe 3 or 4 or 5 games. So there's a huge more demand and workload has been placed now on intercounty players, and it is starting to rear its head in injuries and the demand. So that is now becoming a real concern, that we're just asking far too much of our amateur athletes than we did before.
I'm going to read you a few of the texts. Let's face it, hurling is the only game now. Football has been dead as a spectacle for the last 15 years. And there is a point that hurling, okay, sometimes it can be one-sided, and with the skills and the power of the hurley and the way the slither flies through the air, those long range points can sometimes make a game a bit boring. But at the same time, football, hand passing, conservative play, defensive play, and the mark. I mean, what needs to
I think Yeah, that's a separate problem that needs to be solved on its own, irrespective of the calendar path. The product, the game of Gaelic football has taken a turn that needs to, and there is work going on afoot. But that same problem will apply whether we go back to the third Sunday of September or not. So that, there's a separate argument there, and hurling's, albeit all part of the one association, it's a different animal. It'll be the fantastic hurling championship, and I would agree. You should be watching hurling championships, hurling finals, hurling semi-finals in Croke Park as well. That product, that occasion that we've seen, albeit too short and too infrequent, we should be seeing more of that, because that's, as I would agree with hurling people, that is as part of our DNA, and you should be selling that and showing that to people, not just at home but abroad, as often and for as long as is practically possible.
How about this one? If you listen to the players, the majority are happy with the split season. They have time to themselves in the summer. Ultimately, they are the ones who are slogging in the winter and giving up their lives for the cause. I don't know what Dick is talking about, re-attendances. Hurling has never been better. That's hurling.
In terms of this argument, we sort of have to separate hurling and football out, because they are almost two very different organisations at this stage. Like hurling, at the same time, Matt, you're talking about no more than a dozen elite counties playing at a very high standard and hugely competitive. Football has a much greater reach. It's a much more, there's far more people play and attend Gaelic football over the course of the year. And so they're very different types of sports. I don't like to compare the two because it's not a sort of a fair comparison. Hurling has been an exceptional championship. And it will continue to be because of the nature that it's structured. So it's not a hurling conversation. It will be brilliant whether it's played at the end of July or the end of September. But the football championship in terms of attendances, so to counter that point, like just to give you one example, Monaghan and Cavan, where I'm from, border counties, huge rivalry. We played the Ulster Championship match this year in April. There was 8,000 people. Donegal was empty. That fixture, Matt, I played in that when I was playing, would have routinely got close to 20,000 people, be it in Breffni or Cavan. It was a noticeable, and that was the first time actually it really hit home for me what we've done when you've seen that event, that game should have been the talking point around here for weeks over the summer under a huge crowd, and it was the exact opposite. And I said, well, there you go. That's a real example of how this has impacted what the football championship can be, and like a Monaghan Cavan game, and there's similar rivalries, and people will be listening from other rivalries, be it Cork and Kerry or Mayo and Galway or Kildare and Laois, would have seen the same, less interest, less attendance, because it's played at the wrong time of the year in bad weather, and crowds are just not really tuned into inter-county football because there's so much.
I think you're right. Not tuned in is a good way to put it. That, you know, your level of awareness, and there's so much else going on. You mentioned the Premier League, of course. You're at that stage of the year, you're coming to the end, sometimes an exciting end to the Premier League, and so many matches piling one on top of the other, and people on a Sunday might stay at home to watch their Premier League favourite team playing, you know, rather than go out in the rain.
And that happens. That happens. And I know people, family, friends in around Monaghan town, that just taking that game an example, but that could be, you know, recalled for several other games at that time of the year. People, April's championship game, Monaghan Cavan, no, that doesn't feel right. I'm going to the school trips. I've got to get the kids up in the morning to go to school on Monday. There's so much else happening there. Like, the GAA is a very family orientated organisation. Matt, our past, we sort of, we love bringing our kids, we love getting into the car, making a day out of it. You know, there's so much activity at now at a time of the year where it's difficult even for parents and families to go and watch and accommodate games. That is having an impact. And I've seen that's my perspective now on it, and I'm seeing that play out. And that's the concern I have, Matt, you know.
Well, Dick, I'll leave you with one comment from a listener. I was at ACDC in a packed Croke Park, very successful financial enterprise, but the GAA are on a highway to hell with all the finals done and dusted so early in the year. So
there we go.
They need to address it. Dick, thank you very much for joining us. GAA columnist for the Irish Independent and former Monaghan footballer.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.